Today is Jesus, the compassionate Savior. I want to read you several scriptures. The first, in Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 17. And one of the multitude answered him, "Teacher, I brought unto thee my son, who has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever it taketh him, it dasheth him down, and he foameth, and grindeth his teeth, and pineth away. But I spake unto thy disciples, that they should cast it out, and they were not able. And he answereth them, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him grievously. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long time is it since this hath come unto him? And he said, From a child. And oft times it hath cast him both into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And then Jesus acted. Now Hebrews 4, verse 14. Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And one other portion that I want to read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed, they were fainting, and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that so many hundreds of years have passed since the events occurred that we've read about, and yet the world is no different, our Father. It is no better. More have heard of your Son now, and more have trusted him, but that's because of time. Let us note that we can say concerning mankind today, as it was said concerning your son then. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. And your son was asked the question, are there many saved? And your son said, few they are that are saved. And so many are lost, our Father, and few are saved. But we are thankful that your invitation is to all mankind. Have you not told us, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And our Father, you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. And so we are thankful that we know your heart, our God. And we are ashamed to say that you know ours and all your creatures as well. But you are sufficient for these things. And today, we would learn about the Lord Jesus Christ from the portions that we've read and those that we are to consider. So our Father, let our coming together not be in vain, but bless us in a spiritual way, and let it help our bodies in a physical way as well. And we cannot help but think of those that are enduring the brunt of the hurricane in Florida. Our God, let us know that on some occasions it hits in one locality and then in others. So let man think of the uncertainty of not only the conditions of the weather, but also the conditions of life. But let him understand the certainty, our Father, about appointment unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So our Father, that wrath of God that is coming upon all that will not trust your Son, we are so glad that something can be done for that. And hast thou not said, flee from the wrath to come? And we are aware that so many have fled from the hurricane to escape its wrath. Our Father, that much intelligence. We pray, our God, that men shall have intelligence enough to flee from the wrath to come. The consequences are eternal. And so bless us in this hour, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. One of the most comforting teachings of the Word of God is that we have a Savior that is flesh and blood like ourselves. It says in Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also in like manner partook of the same, that he might die, that he might bear our sins in his own body on the tree. But it also says in Hebrews chapter 4, that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When he became flesh and blood, everything like man except sin, he was able to be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And he himself experienced every temptation that a man without sin could experience. And now, he invites us to come to one who is filled with mercy and love, and in the portion that I read to you today, compassion. Now, it is evident to me and to all of us who have fled to Jesus for refuge that he is filled with compassion. But it is not true concerning all men, and their awareness of the heart that is filled with compassion within our Savior. And that is why I read to you the apparent contradiction, the question concerning the compassion of our Savior. Because in Mark chapter 9, the disciples of our Savior, who had been empowered to do the things that He Himself was doing, had lost that power because they had not been praying and they had not been fasting. And they thought that since Christ had bestowed that power, that it was permanent, whether they lived for God, whether they prayed to God, whether they denied the flesh. They thought that since God gave that gift, then they had that gift, and they could exercise it when they pleased. But what happened was this. A father with a demon-possessed son, while Peter, James, and John with the Lord Jesus were up in the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, he came to the nine apostles down in the valley and told them of the condition of his son and besought them to heal him. And the embarrassing thing is that the disciples attempted to cast out the demon and they were unable. And we are not told that they said, "We were not able to do it, but you just wait until our master comes and he will do it." They did not tell him that. It seems like they were filled with shame and humiliation and embarrassment. And they had to be in the presence of this demon-possessed son and this father who came to them asking for a blessing that Christ had bestowed upon them and they were able to bestow. But somehow the power had left them. But thank God, the Lord Jesus, after a brief hour of transfiguration on the mountain, the glory now that they saw, His face shining above the brightness of the sun, His garments shining as the light, that was for an hour. And then a cloud came and overshadowed them. And out of that cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the cloud passed, they lifted up their faces and looked around, and they saw no one but Jesus only, just as he was when he came up the mountain, and that glory that was for a moment was gone until a later date. And so now they're coming down from the mountain. And when they do, and think of this, I'm thinking of the contrast, in the mountain, there was a spiritual experience, there was glory, a seeing and a hearing of things that were incomparable. But then that was gone. But down in the valley, none of those things were occurring, but sin and Satan were rampant, and the disciples were unable to do anything to bring it to an end. And so the Lord Jesus and Peter, James, and John come and sees the commotion that's going on, and he asks, "What has happened?" And then the Father comes and tells the Savior about the condition of his son and the failure of the disciples to heal his son, and how long his son had been suffering, and how the demon had cast him into the fire and into the water and sought to destroy him. And now the father's heart is broken. And he said, "I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to cast him out." And then this, he said, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Think of that. Here is one who asks two questions about the Savior. I looked at your followers. They weren't able to do anything for me. They said, can you do anything for us? And will you have compassion on us if you can? Two questions. And you and I think of those questions. And we smile when we know the answers in advance. Can you do anything? The Lord Jesus could do all things. And do you have compassion? There is no one who ever had more compassion than the Lord Jesus. But this Father did not know that. And he had seen the powerlessness of his followers, and he wondered if the report that he had heard concerning Jesus was a false report, was simply a rumor, a reputation that this man had, and he could not live up to it. And the Lord Jesus, with sternness, even though this father's heart is broken and has been disappointed, the Lord Jesus with sternness says, if I can, do I have compassion? He said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him that believes. And thank God for the openness of the Father. There is so much hypocrisy and so much pretension. But the Father, with a broken heart, cried out and said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so the Savior had been asked, if you can do anything, and so do you have the power? And the Savior said, do you have the faith? If you have the faith, all things are possible to him that believes. And then the man confesses his shortcomings. And he says, from all the experiences I've had in the religious world of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I've had those experiences and they haven't helped me. And I've come to your disciples thinking there was more in them and they were not able to help me. Lord, I do not have great faith. He said, but I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And then the Lord Jesus immediately came to the assistance of that imperfect faith, and he healed the father's son. Now, here is a question that this stranger to Jesus asks, but at the same time, his own disciples at times ask him questions, and I am ashamed of them when they ask that question. On another occasion, he is in the ship with them, and a storm is raging, and they are afraid that the boat is going to be filled with water and sink, and they're going to perish. And so they come to the Lord Jesus, who is asleep, and they say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The other man said, if you can do anything, help us and have compassion. If you can do anything, if there's any compassion in you, a question that is an insult to ask. And for his own disciples to say, do you not care that we are perishing? But what happens is this. We who think that we are strong, devoted, immovable Christians, when a storm arises, perhaps like the one we've been praying about, and when a sickness that no one else has been able to do anything about, when a child has been overpowered by Satan and no one has been able to help him, then at times we are subject to the temptation of coming to Jesus and saying, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But what the scripture teaches us is that Jesus is filled with compassion. And as he said before he went back to heaven, he said, all power is given unto thee in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. And so the Savior that we serve has been given all power in heaven and on earth. And so let us never ask with that Father, if you are able to do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And never let us ask what the disciples asked the Lord. Lord, do you not care that we perish? Whatever happens to all our loved ones and whatever situations in life come upon us, let us never ask him, do you love us? Do you care for us? Is there compassion? Can you do anything for us? Let us understand that there is always compassion and there is always power, but there is not always the will of God to do something for us. How often have I thought of our Savior at the pool of Bethsaida? It was filled with a multitude of sick people. And the Lord Jesus, who could have healed them all, went to one and healed him. And then he left. And if it meant my soul's entrance into heaven to answer why, when he could have healed them all, did he not heal them all? I could only answer, it was not God's will for them to be healed at that time. How embarrassing. But this much I know, that he loved them all, and he had power to heal them all, but why he did not heal them all, I am not able to answer that question, and no other creature of God is able to answer that question. But at least I will never go to the Savior and say, are you able? I will never go to the Savior and say, do you have compassion? Because I know he has power and he has compassion. And that is what he has demonstrated throughout the Gospels. And right now at the right hand of God, it says, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Who is he that brings an accusation against us? When anyone does, the Lord Jesus is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is doing things for me in heaven that I do not know I need being to be done for me, but he's doing them for me. And as in Lamentations, God has withheld from us all the punishment that we deserve. And so I cannot say to God, you've done to me things that should not be done. I can only say, you have not done to me things that should have been done. And so Christ is filled with compassion. When Moses wanted a fuller revelation of God, God told him about himself. And when the Lord Jesus was on earth, the Lord Jesus gave a fuller revelation of his Father and of himself. And also, he revealed concerning the Holy Spirit of God. And having given us a full revelation up to this time, there is so much that we do not know and we desire to know. But it says, the just shall live by faith. And I've wondered, when all the scientists are bringing up new explanations of the universe, it says in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. And so in my simplicity and trust, when some wise man says, do you believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? I say, yes, I believe it. And they say, prove it. And I say, I cannot prove it. By faith, we believe that the heavens and earth were created by the Word of God. And we have to continue to believe that by faith until he reveals it to us. However, I would ask this. You believe that the universe came into existence without God? Yes. How? And their latest explanation is this, that at one time there was nothing, but suddenly there was something, and that something was the universe. And this nothing that became something is filled with laws of such exactness that they can tell you all that we need to know about this physical universe. They can tell us everything about it, except where it came from, and how there are laws, and how life came out of death. They are not able to tell you that, but you and I say by faith we understand that the heavens were created by the Word of God, and you and I believe that in Jesus Christ all things consist. This universe holds together. And because of things that happen to the Father, like this, a son who is demon-possessed, and the followers of Christ that the Father is familiar with are not able to do anything for him. And so they think, then Jesus can't do anything for him. But he can, and he will in due time. And all that is required is faith. Understand this. At times we have faith, but in answer to the faith that we exercise, the Savior says from heaven, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so concerning this universe in which we live, by faith we understand, and this Christian life that we live, and all that comes upon us that we are not able to comprehend, it says, the just shall live by faith. And when the Apostle Paul was told that in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather endure my sufferings, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And that takes ever so much faith. "You could heal me, O God? Yes, but I'm not going to heal you." And he understood why not. Why? Because you are liable to come puffed up with conceit because of all of those things that you saw in heaven, and you are not permitted to speak what you heard in heaven. And because of that, you are to have that thorn in the flesh to remain with you. And so at least he got that much of an answer. You and I do not get that much of an answer, but still we are to place our faith in the Savior. And so if you're ever asking questions about Jesus, never ask the question, "Are you able to help me?" The answer is yes, I can do all things. And Paul understood that because he said in Philippians 4, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Then, whatever needs to be done that God has laid upon us to do, we can do all those things. And if he has not empowered us to do those things, however much we try, we are not able to do them. And at times, he has given us power, and that power has been lost because of self-indulgence and lack of prayer. And we ask him, "Why were we not able?" And then he tells us the cause of our weaknesses. But understand this. There was never any weakness in our Savior and his ability. When he was at the grave of Lazarus, and Martha had besought him for help, and she said, "Lord, I know that even now, whatsoever you ask, God will grant it you." And the Lord Jesus said, "Yes, that's right. And your brother is going to rise again." And she said, "I know he shall rise again in the last day. The Lord Jesus said, no, not the last day. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He will rise when I want him to. But she was not able to comprehend it, because when he went to the grave and said, take away the stone, Martha would have prevented it because she did not believe that he was able. She thought she did. Yes, Lord, I have believed. But when he was to manifest that power, she said, Lord, the Lord Jesus said I not unto thee that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And she let him alone. And with these words, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. And so whether in this world God does anything for us, we need faith, or if he's going to do something for us, and we say, but Lord, if you do it that way, there will be such an embarrassment. He is able to do something for us. And so, whatever our condition in life, and whatever the vicissitudes that come upon us, we need faith to get through life. And what will get us through life is this understanding. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Why am I able to do things? Because there is one who has power. All power is given unto him, and he gives that power unto us. And all that he asks us to do, we are able to do. If we attempt to do something without him, we are not able to do it. And also, whenever our hearts are breaking in life, and we wonder if Jesus loves us, Lord, if you are able, help us and have compassion on us. And the Lord Jesus is the compassionate one. And this is what was so moving. Whenever I teach you anything, if there is a subject, I look up every reference. And in Matthew's Gospel, there are 5 references about our Savior's compassion. In Mark's Gospel, there are 4. And in Luke's Gospel, there are 3. And in John's Gospel, instead of using the word compassion, there is the word love. But there is ever so much similarity between the two. If God loves me, he will bestow his compassion on me. And if he bestows his compassion on me, he loves me. But in Matthew's Gospel, I read you in chapter 9 of Matthew that the Lord Jesus looked at the multitudes, and when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because the description is this. They were fainting. They were distressed. They were like sheep without a shepherd, that were scattered. And so he looks at mankind, and they are fainting, and they are scattered, and they are crushed, and it seems as if nobody cares about them. But it said when he saw them in that condition, he had compassion. He was moved with compassion. Now, what happens is this. Whenever our Savior sees a need, compassion always arises in his heart. And this was something that was of great help and great illumination. Having read all the occurrences when our Savior was filled with compassion, I read in Matthew's Gospel the miracles that he performed. And one of the miracles that he performed was healing the leper. But it says nothing about being moved with compassion in Matthew when he healed the leper. But I read concerning the same event in Mark's Gospel. And when the leper wanted healing, it said, Jesus being moved with compassion. Which means this, that at times, even when our Savior performs a miracle, and all the details are not given, That miracle is never performed without a heart that is filled with compassion. If God does not tell us the compassion is there from a comparison of the things that He has done and the other Gospels that tell us about it, there is always compassion. Why? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And whatever I do in life, if it's not motivated by love, it profits me nothing, and I am nothing. And so for that reason, whenever Jesus did anything, it was always motivated by love, and it was always from a heart that was filled with compassion. And what is of the greatest interest is this, that at times when Jesus would look upon the multitudes, His compassion would be moved and He would do different things. For instance, in Matthew chapter 14, it says He comes and He sees the multitudes and they're sick. And it says He is moved with compassion and He heals their sick. What does that mean? I have been sick. And Jesus is aware of it. And He is moved with compassion when there is sickness in me, an individual. And He looks at humanity. And when they are scattered as sheep not having a shepherd, and when they are fainting, and when they are distressed, it says He is moved with compassion. And His response is, pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. He says, right now I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? And so He says, I have compassion and I want to do what I can, but there are those that are not within my help at this time, but pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. And it says at the beginning of the next chapter, and Jesus sent forth His 12 apostles. What does this mean? What He did Himself, He had His followers, and He said, now you go and do it. As this man has been blessed, go and do thou likewise. And so the Lord Jesus says, not only do I want to help you, but I want those that are not here to be helped as well. And so the Father says to the Savior, if you are able, help us and have compassion upon us. And so the Lord Jesus is able, and He's filled with compassion. Let Him trust Him, and let us pray to Him that indeed He shall show this compassion and this power upon all mankind. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Jesus, the compassionate Savior. We confess, our God, when we see the multitudes, we wonder if there is any compassion. But we just read that when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. And He wanted to do something, and He did. And He wanted others to do something. And He prayed that they might be sent forth. The Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. And so help us, our God, as we go through life, to understand that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He's touched with all of them, and He has compassion, and He loves us, and He can help us, and He will. So let us have faith, our Father, until He acts on our behalf. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.